Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Wow! Where has it gone? This is the end of the church year. It's almost like yesterday. Remember the Advent wreath up there? We're lighting the candles. And now we're going to be doing that next Sunday. And this Wednesday, I mean, this Thursday's coming. Can you believe it's going to be Thanksgiving already? We're going to have our Thanksgiving service here at 7 o'clock in the evening to give thanks to God. And that whole church year from the Advent and all the prophecies about the birth and the coming of the Messiah, to Jesus' birth, to the manifestation in Epiphany, to the going away of the cross in Lent and the glorious resurrection in Easter, and receiving of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost and the birthday of the church and all the Sundays of green after Pentecost, they've all led to the culmination today of Christ the King Sunday. Christ the King. Christ the King. How do you picture Christ the King? You know, coming in glory as the King with the crown and regally teaching wisdom, following the ways of the Sermon on the Mount and healing the sick and doing good works and raising the dead, preaching the good news of the kingdom. You know, my cross that my dear spiritual mentor and spiritual director, Horst Bandel, made for me. Now, he's in heaven now. But it shows Jesus on the cross, but on up here is a crown. He's crowned. And this is, in our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters, call this Pater Corator, which means head of the whole universe. And our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, they go back to the Roman armies when they would conquer somebody. They would say at the end, Roma Victor! Well, this is Christus Victor, Christ the victor. And, you know, Jesus is victor. Jesus is king. This is all true. So why do we have this gospel lesson, which we think it really should be in Lent, it shouldn't be now, today. In our gospel lesson, instead of getting a throne, which kings should have a throne, a mighty throne. You saw the Game of Thrones, you know, you saw the thrones. What does he get? A cross. Rather than a golden crown with jewels and rubies, he gets a crown of thorns. Rather than, hail to the chief, what does he get? Crucify him, crucify him. This is a pretty weak and sad looking king. He looks kind of like the holy fool, doesn't he? Huh? And totally defenseless, suffering, naked on a cross, God forsaken, even says, why have you forsaken me? Yet, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in God's word, we see there's more to it than this. There's more to it. God does not play by our rules, what we think kings should be. In fact, as you read the Gospels and study God's word, we get some hints. We see that Jesus never really refers to himself as the Messiah. Remember when he multiplied the loaves and fishes, and they tried to make him king. Jesus, what did he do? He hid from them. He never called himself the Christ. Rather, he presents himself as a servant. The last night he's on earth, what does he do? He washes his disciples' feet. He loves them. He teaches them, the first shall be last. Who among you wants to be a leader must be servant of all. He teaches this, his disciples this. He called himself not Christ, not the Messiah, not the wise one. He called himself the Son of Man, a human being, a human being. So we who follow Jesus as disciples, baptized, and people who bring in the new kingdom, the kingdom that Jesus is king of, need to be open to the same spirit to give us the mind, the heart of Christ. As St. Paul asks us in his letter to the Philippians, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. In fact, Martin Luther, as he comments on Philippians in his commentary, Martin Luther said, "When all possibilities have been exhausted and we are reduced to nothing, the one who created out of nothing does his proper work." When all the distractions are gone, when you're hanging there bleeding and naked, you have no one else to rely on. Rely on God. Your heart, mind, and soul and strength, you know, comes ultimately from God. The other things are fading. Only then are we brought down to earth, to be truly human, a true human being, made out of the dust, breathed into with God's Spirit, baptized by the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. An earth person, a human being made out of humus, but with the breath of God. And then we begin to know God. We begin to know God as we go on that way to be a true human being. We meet God, who became a true human being in Jesus Christ. And we discover grace. It's all grace. It's all gift. Every breath you take, feel your chest, every heartbeat you have, your children, the church, your friends, the country we live in, the beautiful nature. It's all gift. It's all gift of God. Grace of the Word touching us, forgiving us, welcoming us again today to this place to hear God's Word and to give us a clean slate, making us His people, reminding us that we live in a different kingdom, a different country. We are always counter-cultural. So now, with new eyes, let's again, with joy, celebrate Christ the King Sunday, as we do in the second lesson that Terry read to us. From Colossians, St. Paul tells us, "For in Him," in Jesus, "all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him God was pleased to reconcile to Himself all things," all things, "whether on earth or in the heavens, by making peace through the blood of the cross." Here we are again, back to the cross. It's like the story of a little, young adult. She was 17 years old, but a girl that had much trauma in her life and pain, and her parents divorced, and she was with the bad crowd, and they were drinking, and one day she was picked up by the police for drunk driving. Called her mom, and mom went to that night to the jail and got her out, didn't say a word to her, and came home, went to bed. Next day, around lunchtime, the mother broke the silence to her hungover daughter, and she hands her a little gift-wrapped box. And the daughter, nonchalantly, she opened the box, and in the box was a gift of a little stone. And the daughter rolled her eyes, and she said, "Cute! What's this for?" The mother said, "Read the card. Read the card." She read the card, the 17-year-old, and tears came down her eyes. And she hugged her mother, and mother hugged her. They both had tears. And on the card it said this: "This rock is more than 200,000 years old. 200,000 years. That is how long it will take before I give up on you." This is the type of love that we are guaranteed in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's called grace. Another word for it is agape, selfless love. God models for us a love that loves us. Even when we're yet sinners, Christ died for us, as St. Paul tells us. A love that doesn't let us go. Unconditional love. Grace which allows people to pay the consequences for your actions. Every word, every action you have has consequences, but never gives up on the person. And today, we see that love nailed to a cross. Perhaps this is the only way that God could get our attention. The cross, the crucifixion, it's ugly. Christ suffered. He bled. Do you know what a crucifixion really is? We see pictures of Jesus hanging on the cross. They didn't put the nails through your hands. Why? They'd rip right through. Put them wrists. And to save nails, the Romans put your two feet together and put a nail through them. The person that was crucified was naked. You know how a crucified person died? Not by bleeding. They had to pull themselves up to breathe so your lungs could breathe. And when he went back down, he couldn't breathe. And right between the legs of the crucified, there was a board. So every time you came down, you hit that board, added to the suffering. And you could lay there for hours. That's why when we read about Jesus on Good Friday, the thief, the other ones, they broke their legs so they couldn't lift themselves up. It was a horrible way to die. People were cheering. And they'd put the crosses right in front of the city gates. And above the cross, they'd have what you're crucified for, what the crime was. So when people came in, they saw this horrible sight, and they saw why they were crucified. They knew that if they did that same thing, that's what happened to them. It was a horrible thing. Jesus entered into this pain, this suffering, this cross. He entered into our human life. And the dark side of what makes me human, with rape and murder and genocide and lies and twisting and putting people down and all the other ugly things. He entered into that. God entered into sin. God became sin on the cross. Saved us. He was saying, no matter how horrible, how terrible, how horrific, you can't get away from me. I love you. The cross proves it. That's why today, on this Christ the King Sunday, above many, many steeples, there are crosses. The electric chair the of the first century. We have a beautiful cross on our church. That at night too, when it lights up, it's like lights the way for people knowing nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus because of the cross. So today, we celebrate Christ the King crucified on the cross because God, and we read some more Philippians, highly exalted the crucified one, the one that is people turn away from, they can't stand, the crucified one. And God lifted him up at his name, that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And all the Caesars of this world, their knees shake. Because they know that they aren't in control. Oh, they might have their sycophants and all the people around them, their armies and everything else, but real power is not with them. Real power is with love and kindness and generosity and gentleness. These things last forever. Christ is King, the King whose highest throne is the cross. For Christians, this is our highest joy. It's always paradox. It's always paradox. The highest of the high became the lowest of the low to love and heal and serve and save us, to show us the way, to be the healing balm for us, to know that we are agape'd. We are unconditionally loved by God. And so is every person you meet. No matter what they've done, God loves them too. Oh, there are consequences. And they might have to pay for crimes. But they are always redeemable in Jesus Christ. For he went the way of the cross. For in this way, in the crucified Jesus, grace was let loose. Life was let loose. Freedom was let loose. Eternal life was let loose for all of us, always. So we look at the cross, and it's all this ugliness, but we see the beauty of a love that will never let us go. Thanks be to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the crucified, in Christ Jesus our Lord.